if you're reading through the book of John with us, it kind of takes you through what Jesus experienced over these last 5 days of his life. Just a whirlwind of emotions that Jesus experienced, along with everyone else who followed him. And we've been talking the last 6 or so weeks about these I am statements of Jesus. If you remember, we talked about the bread of life, the light of the world. We talked about I am the door, I am the good shepherd. And last week, Todd preached on I am the vine, I'm the good vine, I am the true vine. And these I am statements are statements that help us peer into the heart of God. We're wondering what God looks like or what his heart is for us. We can look inside these I am statements and understand this is God's heart for his people. And Jesus, he's the visible image of the invisible God. He is the one that shows us the way. He is the truth and he is the life. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Lots packed in here, but we're only going to do 6 verses today. So if you have your scriptures, we're in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 6. I'll be reading through from the ESV. I'll give you a second just to look that up. You can use your pewback Bible if you'd like. And I'll read this together. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus speaking here. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father, except through me. These 6 verses have a lot packed in them. We're going to kind of unpack them kind of line by line as we walk through these. I want to ask you a quick question as we get started. Do you ever have those people in your life that when life seems kind of upside down, kind of chaotic or out of balance, you know, they walk in the room and you just feel kind of at peace or at rest? You know, they come in the room and you know, like, you just got that presence, their presence. They walk in the room, you feel that presence about them, and you feel like, I'm not alone. Several years back, my father was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and it's the first time that our family had interacted with cancer at all in our extended family, and which is pretty amazing, honestly. I remember just this feeling of, like, I don't know how bad the cancer is. I don't know what kind of deep diagnosis he'll get until they get in there and remove the prostate and all those kind of things. And, you know, when your parents have surgery, it's kind of weird because you're like, I don't know what's going to happen. There's just all these questions. And I went back to pray with my father before he went into surgery and had a moment with him. And I was walking back into the waiting room, and when I walked in, 3 of my best friends had traveled from the Lexington, Kentucky area all the way to Nashville to sit with me during the surgery. And in that moment, I just felt this peace, you know, like my friends had come just to be with me, just to sit, because we didn't know what the surgery was going to do, and that just brought this kind of peace to my heart. I don't know if you've ever been there before. And this presence, them coming and showing up. But you know, as the surgery was over, they had to go back home. And some of that peace, you know, kind of left me. A little worry crept in again because my mind was kind of more focused on what was going on, and I still felt a little unbalanced. This scripture that we just read and we're going to talk about is about the power of Jesus' presence. That in Christ, if you are in Christ, his presence never leaves you. That he's always with you. No matter where you go or what you do, there is power in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus' presence changes everything. Jesus' presence in your life changes every single thing. This is Jesus' final week of life. He was walking with his disciples, and he is in the upper room. And he had spent 3 years with these dudes. 3 years, 8,000 hours he poured in, discipled these disciples. They were best friends. And Jesus had, just as Todd talked about, he rides in on the donkey. They say, Hosanna, blessed is the name. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And then Jesus and his disciples are in the upper room. And remember, he washes the feet of the disciples. This includes Peter and Judas. You know, he washes their feet. And this ultimate example of love and service and how he calls the disciples and in turn calls us to serve each other, to serve our enemies, those people whom we can't stand, he says, to stoop down and to wash their feet, those people who will betray you, he says, to stoop down and wash their feet. He tells Judas, what does he tell him? He's going to betray him. And Judas leaves, and then there's only 11. Can you imagine? Think for a second. You have lived with 12 guys for 3 years. These guys are best friends. It could be 12 people you live with. And then one, Jesus is like, hey, you're gonna betray me. And he leaves, and there's only 11. Imagine how the disciples felt in that moment. Probably pretty uncertain of what's going to happen. In John chapter 13, 33, he tells the disciples, I'm going somewhere you cannot come. And he had spent all of this time with the disciples. I mean, this must have been so disconcerting for them. Because when it came to the presence of Jesus, they knew that it changed everything. Do you remember when he called the disciples? Remember where they were? They were fishing. And Jesus showed up and he said, hey, come follow me. And they dropped their nets and they left everything and they followed him. And they had been in his presence forever. They had seen him heal the blind. They'd seen him, they'd seen lepers healed. They'd seen him sit with a Samaritan woman and teach them how to serve others. To them, his presence was everything. And in the same way for us, Jesus' presence should be everything to us. To be with him, to sit with him, to listen to Jesus. This moment for the disciples must have been just so heavy. Because here's the thing. The disciples didn't know that Jesus would raise again. They didn't know where he was going. Remember, he said, where are you going, Jesus? We want to go there too. Where's the way? So what I love about this passage is Jesus being the good shepherd that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, knowing his sheep, he begins to minister to their heart. So these six verses, a lot of times, are taking out of context about the I'll fly away to heaven idea. Certainly there's a heaven, we believe in all those kind of things, but if you put yourself in the moment of the disciples, this is Jesus ministering to the heart of the disciples. And there's a lot we can learn about how Jesus also ministers to our hearts when our lives seem taken upside down. That we can have this peace that we so desperately want in life through the presence of Jesus Christ. So in these six verses, there are three ways that Jesus comforts the disciples. He tells them, I'm going to comfort you through my presence. And he does these three things, and I want to walk through these. He says, I'm here, I'm there, and I'm everywhere. I'm here, there, and everywhere. My dad used to say that. It's here, there, and everywhere, you know? This is Jesus for us. He is here, and he goes before us, and he is there, and he is everywhere. And we're going to talk about this. So look at verse 1. Jesus comforts his disciples through his presence by first reminding them to trust in him. Look at verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. I'm sure he knew. He could see on the disciples' faces that their hearts were troubled. They didn't realize what they couldn't even imagine Jesus being apart from them, even though he had prepared them, even in John chapter 2, hey, I'm going somewhere you can't come. They didn't get it. And he says this, believe in God and believe also in me. Other translation here is, don't let your heart be troubled, or stop letting your heart be troubled because I am here in front of you. I'm right here. I haven't gone anywhere yet. Don't be troubled. I'm still here. Believe in me. Have trust in me. Trust in me that I'm here, and I'm not only going to be here in front of you, but I'm going to go with you. And so instead of the disciples lending their support to Jesus, right? The disciples are kind of thinking about themselves. They're like, Jesus begins to lend his support to his disciples. And he begins to serve them by comforting the hearts, their hearts. And this is a deep look inside the shepherd's heart for us. That he is always willing to comfort our lonely heart, our heart that is unbalanced, a heart that feels worried, He is always, you are always His top priority because He is full of love. And He says this, don't be troubled because I am here. He says this to the disciples, and I don't know that they fully understood that, but he was telling them, like, don't let your hearts be troubled because I am in your presence, and I have the power to bring peace to your worry. When I'm looking in the refrigerator for something, I always have to ask Aaron, where is it? For example, mustard. I'm looking for the mustard for my sandwich, and I'm looking all through the refrigerator, and I'm like, where is the mustard? And she's in the other room, and somehow she knows. It's on the second shelf. It's right in front of you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's right there in front of me. I don't know how she does it, but like she's just good at it. Like she could be standing next to me. I'm like, where's the salad dressing? And it's like right there. And she's like, John, it's right there in front of you, you know? Let me point it out to you. I think in the same way, we have to remember that Jesus isn't mustard, but like He is right here in front of us. He is right here in front of us to grab hold of and take in. And sometimes we need people on the outside when we're going through a really tough time for you to say, hey Oz, hey Todd, He is right in front of you. Take hold of Him. Are you fearful? Are you worried? Is your life unbalanced? Do you not know what to do next? He is in front of you. And either we believe that Jesus' presence has the power to overcome these financial hardships that we have, or addiction, or loneliness, or we don't. And Jesus was saying to His disciples, believe in Me. Believe in My presence. And we need this reminder. The disciples needed the reminder. We need this reminder that Jesus is in front. I am with you. I am here. And so when your heart is troubled, if there's anyone out there, your heart is troubled, I want you to know that Jesus is here. He says this to the disciples, but because of His death, burial, and resurrection, we'll talk about in a minute, He is here also with us. He's also there. I'm here and I'm there. Look at verse 2, the first part of verse 2. In My Father's house are many rooms. Some translation is mansion, but the actual translation in the Greek is room, so think of it as just a room, like a hotel room kind of idea. Jesus comforts His disciples in this moment in the next line by saying, there is room for you. There is space in the Father's house. Now, it's critical for us to understand what Jesus is talking about when He talks about the Father's house. The Jewish, or even the disciples people, the disciples would have understood it as him and the temple in Jerusalem. Because the temple in Jerusalem is where God's presence was there. That's where you had to go. Do you remember when we talked about the Psalm of Ascent in Psalm 120 through 134, I believe? You're ascending up to Jerusalem, and why were they going up to Jerusalem? Because they were going to be in the presence of the Father. So the Jewish temple, the Jerusalem, is where God's presence was. And the disciples probably would have been confused because Jesus had prophesied and told them that He was going to destroy the temple. So I think they were wondering, like, In my father's house, there's many rooms. Like, where does the Father's house is physical? Like, it's a Jewish temple. But He began to change them by saying, I am there, and I'm not necessarily in the temple, but I am in your hearts. The disciples, they would be unsure if they deserved a room because it was generally reserved for priests or those who were, quote unquote, closest to God. And the disciples weren't priests, they were far from it. So what was Jesus saying? He was creating a whole new temple dwelling in our hearts. It was no longer on a hill in Jerusalem. He would destroy that. And He was preparing them for the new covenant that was coming. That the old had gone and the new had come. That He would change the old stony heart for a heart of flesh to dwell inside of us. And He says to the disciples, there is room, not just room in your hearts, but also in eternity for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Oh, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, that you are not your own? And Jesus comes and He begins to change the idea of where the room is. It's in the heart, but it's also in eternity. The dwelling place is no longer on a hill in Jerusalem, but in our hearts. Jesus is telling his disciples, there's room for all of you. And those in this room who say you follow Jesus, there is room for you. And those who would say, hey, I don't know about this journey, he says to you as well, there's room for you too. When I think about home, when I think about the idea of home, these sayings come to mind. Home is where the heart is. You've probably heard these. Home sweet home. Or what about home is where you hang your hat, right? And for many of us in this room, going home is such a good feeling. It's a feeling of safety and peace and joy even. Or maybe your parents raise you and you can go home to your parents and they take care of you. You know, when you're in a troubled situation, you can go home. And that's fine and good. But for some of us in this room, the thought of home or going home is not that way. Our home was chaotic. Our home didn't bring peace. We never knew what was going to happen. And Jesus says, there is a room that I am making for you. There are room in my Father's house. When you go home, there is perfect peace. And when I take up residence in your heart, in the room in your heart, there is perfect peace because my presence is there. Psalm 23:6 says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I am there and I am here, he tells his disciples. I am here and I am there. But his presence, he wanted his disciples to know and us to be with us, came at a cost. Look at verse 2b. If it were not so, would I have told you that I would go and prepare a place for you? Jesus comforts his disciples by preparing a place for them. Jesus assures his disciples he's going away to accomplish his Father's plan and will return, but his preparation that he is talking about is his death. I am going to go to death for you so you will have room in the Father's house. I am going to go to death for you so that one day I can take up residence in your heart. There had to be a preparation for this. And while the disciples might have been like, oh, I don't know if this is real comforting to me, of course it wasn't right then, but it was going to be. And Jesus says, as I go, I become the way you get there. I am the truth that you hold on to get there, and I am the life, the eternal life that you will enjoy when you get there. Now, when Jesus says that he goes and prepares a place for his disciples, he is saying, I am going to open the way to you, to the way to the Father. I'm going to confirm all the prophecies that have been talked about me. And I'm going to give you life through my death. Because he goes ahead of them. I am here, I am there. Jesus is a good shepherd, and we've talked about this, that always goes ahead of us and prepares the way. Hebrews 6:19 through 20. We have this hope and a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters the inner shrine behind the curtain, where Jesus, a forerunner on our behalf, has entered, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. He's a forerunner on our behalf. That's what he's telling the disciples. This is comfort here for them. That I am here, I am there, I'm a forerunner, I go before you. He goes ahead of us, even in death. He goes ahead of you, even in your worry or fear. Whatever it is, if you trust him, he has already gone ahead of you. How many of you in this room are second borns? You're number two. Or number three, or number four. Not a firstborn. How many of you are not a firstborn? How about that? There you go. I'm a second born. And that was awesome because my older brother, he always went ahead of me. I kind of watched him, and I got a chance to see, what I didn't need to say to Dad and what I might need to say to Dad, you know, in certain situations. He is the one that kind of when it comes to discipline or even like school, there was always comfort in knowing that my brother Josh was with me. Like he was going before me. He had already experienced all this stuff. And I remember going, I was a freshman in high school when he was a junior. I was going into high school, and high school is a big deal. And I didn't know how to do anything with the locker. I didn't know how to do anything with my trapper keeper, all that kind of stuff. My brother had already done that stuff. I didn't know what, you had to go change in the gym. That was weird. I was like, how does this all work? I just asked my brother because he all went before me. That's my brother. Jesus had gone before us in every single thing that we'll ever do. And we can trust him. We can trust the power of his presence in every single moment. Verse 3, it says, I will come again, so where I am, you will also be. There's going to be a moment when Jesus comes back to be with us. At where we are, he is also physically present. I look forward to looking Jesus in the eye. A little bit scared, but I look forward to looking Jesus in the eye. One day he says, this comfort is I'm going to prepare a place, I'm going away, but one day I'll come back and claim you, and I'll be with you. I'll be with you. So he is here, he is there, and he is everywhere. Verse 3, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you will also be. Jesus comforts his disciples by promising that he will always be with them. Jesus first says he'll come again. Of course, he's going to come claim his own. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with a voice of an archangel, with a sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them, the Lord, in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Oh, man. And the crowd goes wild, right? A beautiful picture of Jesus one day returning here to earth to make all things new, to be with us. Oh my gosh, the Good Shepherd in front of us, what that might look like for you, for us, in this reunion that we get to have, that we will one day dwell with Jesus in the physical flesh. What a promise. But if you're anything like me, you say, what about right now? We can't see and touch Jesus. He's not right here in front of me. I mean, the disciples, they could see and they couldn't even get it, But I'm not sure if I can wait till he gets back. If there are real life, John, there's real life issues I'm going through. My health is failing. My marriage is difficult. My job is unbearable. My loneliness is heavy. John, what encouragement do you have for me right now? What can you tell me right now? I don't know if I can wait. Well, Jesus, I don't have to tell you, but Jesus will. John 14, 15 through 18, he says this, if you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father. He's going to ask on our behalf, and he will give you another advocate or helper who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives where? In your heart, with you now, and later will be with you in the flesh, in the physical. Now, look at 18. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. I am here, I am there, and how is he everywhere? What encouragement can I give you right now? The encouragement of the Holy Spirit. That when he prepared a way for us and went to heaven to be with the Father, he didn't leave us on earth just kind of aimlessly walking around. He left us with the power of his presence through the Holy Spirit, so that if your health is failing and you're laying on a hospital bed, you can feel the presence of God through his Holy Spirit. That if your marriage is failing or difficult, you and your husband or wife can go together in prayer and pray and let the Holy Spirit's presence be among you. If your job is undesirable or unbearable, the Holy Spirit of God is with you in those moments. And I want you to know, if your loneliness, if you are here and you are lonely, you could have all the friends in the world. You could be married. Those are some of the loneliest people I know. That his Spirit and presence is among you through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can take comfort in this, that wherever we go, there's a helper. That the Holy Spirit teaches us, reminds us of Jesus' words, and brings peace to our troubled heart. I heard a pastor once say that the essence of heaven, if we want to understand heaven, It's the immediate presence of Jesus. The essence of heaven is the immediate presence of Jesus. Wherever Jesus is in your life, that's the presence of heaven. If Jesus is in our hearts, we have the opportunity to find heaven in our hearts. Peace in the chaos, love in the face of hate, hope in deep despair, and joy in the fret in the face of depression and anxiety and worry. Jesus comforts his disciples and us, because I don't know if you're like me, but I want to see Jesus. I long for that day. But he says, I'm going somewhere you can't go. I'll come back, but while you wait, here's the gift of the Holy Spirit to be with you. And I don't want you to forget that, you who are a believer in Christ today. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit, the helper, the advocate, the one who never leaves you. Now, I know you might say, John, this is a sermon about I am the way, the truth, the life. You haven't got there yet, so I hope it's not too much longer. But this comfort is only possible, and this is short, this comfort is only possible if you believe that Jesus Christ is the way. If you believe he's the way. The translation here is not three separate things. He's not saying that you believe I am the way, the truth, the life. It's actually translated as I am the way because I am the truth, because I am the life. Because I'm the truth, truth is a person. So that's something we have to find. It's found in Jesus. Because all the life you'll ever need is found in Christ, I am the way. He tells his disciples those same things. But you must follow that. The statement is exclusive. It's an exclusive statement. And we don't like those in this world right now. It's very exclusive. You either follow him or you don't. But I want to tell you something else. It's exclusive, but it's also all-inclusive. Anyone can come. Anyone's welcome at the table. Are you broken, sick, hurting? You say, my life is, I've sinned way too much, or I've run way too far. Hey, look, it's inclusive. He wants you. He wants to be with you. If you read the scriptures, the whole doggone thing talks about his presence being among us. He just wants to be with you. He just wants to sit next to you. He just wants to love you. Just let him. Just let him love you. Psalm 16 is a psalm I was... I don't know if you're familiar, but when you have a C-section, I don't have a C-section. When Erin had a C-section, she did all the work. They take her back first, and they leave me in a room by myself, kind of waiting for her to get prepped and all those kind of things. And the sermon kind of dawned on me because I began to get really anxious. My hands started getting sweaty, you know, and got a little light sweat going. I'm not real big on all the surgery stuff, to be honest. I began to pray, and the Lord began to ring those words to me. I am here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. And I memorized Psalm 16:11. You make known the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Begin to remember this scripture of how there's such joy in this moment and how often the enemy wants to steal every bit of joy that we have. Even in the moment my third child coming into this earth, he is trying to steal that by worry and fear and doubt. And Jesus steps in the power of his presence and the Holy Spirit and rids all of those things. And I want you to know it's true for me, but it can be true for you too. And whatever you're walking through, whatever it is that's holding you back, his presence can be among you in your heart, and it will change everything. If you find yourself in the place of the disciples, kind of like me sometimes, where you're absolutely troubled, listen to the words of Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm with you. I'm here. I'm there. I'm everywhere. Jesus is here. Jesus is there. And Jesus is everywhere. If you are troubled today, you can find rest in him and his presence. And if you have turmoil in your heart, you can find rest and comfort in the presence of Jesus. But you have to follow his way. You have to follow his way, believing that he is the Christ, and he died for you, and he rose again, which we get to celebrate here next Sunday. For us, as the church, I always like to end with this. What does this mean for us? The body, New Life Church, what does it mean? Well, Todd, you can go back and listen to Todd's sermon. It's exactly what it means. To invest our life in the vine. This is the way to graft ourselves into Him and to trust Him to give us all the nutrients that we need to become more like Him. And this is what He says. How do we know? John 15:12. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is how we show God's presence is among us, here in this church and in our own hearts. We go and we love. And so this morning, I hope it is an encouragement to you. If you read back on through John 14 and even to the end when Jesus died, I'm not sure how much of an encouragement it was to the disciples, because I'm still sure they didn't get it because they ran off and Peter denied him and all this kind of stuff. But I think they probably look back on it, if I may, and realize the encouragement was in that moment. But it's an encouragement for you today that if you're in Christ, He never leaves you. And if you are seeking that relationship, I want you to know you step into a relationship where He is always with you. He is here, He is there, and He is everywhere. I want to pray for us. We'll sing together and we'll be done. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for who You are, Lord, and that Your death didn't mean death. It didn't mean that we'd never see You again, that it didn't mean that we wouldn't be able to experience Your presence and the freedom that brings. It meant that You gave us more in Your Holy Spirit. That when we pray, Your Spirit can be among us. And it's not limited to one space, it's everywhere. And so God, I pray that those of us who are in Christ, that we would recognize that. And those who are seeking for that relationship, Lord, I pray that they would understand that they never have to be alone. So God, as we sing together, Lord, we pray that You would just minister to our hearts and remind us that You are with us, even as we sing.